Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Very warm welcome to St. Catharines and St. Margaret's for our service of home worship on this fifth Sunday after Trinity. It's lovely to have you with us. We come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, united in prayer, to offer our praise and thanksgivings to our Heavenly Father. We give thanks for the gift of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals the depth of God's love for us. In our gospel reading today, we see how Jesus responds with love and compassion to all who come to him in faith. And as we come before our Heavenly Father, we open our hearts to him in prayer. Father of glory, holy and eternal, look upon us now in power and mercy. May your strength overcome our weakness, your radiance transform our blindness, and your spirit draw us to that love shown and offered to us by your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we come into the presence of our Heavenly Father, let us first seek his forgiveness of our sins, that we may know his peace in our hearts. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you have given us knowledge of your truth. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd leading us to life. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, glory be to God on high. Alleluia to the Saviour who has gained the victory. Alleluia to the Spirit, fount of love and sanctity. Alleluia, alleluia, to the triune majesty. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name. Through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Because God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living, for he created all things so that they might exist. The generative forces of the world are wholesome, and there is no destructive poison in them, and the dominion of Hades is not on earth. For righteousness is immortal, for God created for us incorruption, and made us in the image of his own eternity. But through the devil's envy, death entered into the world, and those who belong to his company experience it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The response to Psalm 30. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I will extol you, O God, for you have drawn me up, and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought me up, my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. But your favour, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know that the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now to finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. But if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Speak to us, O Lord, and bring your word to life within us. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Listen to the Gospel of Christ according to Saint Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little girl is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She'd endured much under many physicians, and had spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all round to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was about 12 years old. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In our gospel reading today, Mark paints a very moving picture for us of two encounters of Jesus as he continued his travels. Firstly, Jesus encounters Jairus, the leader of the local synagogue, who comes to Jesus and pleads with him to help his daughter, who is critically ill. As Jesus goes with Jairus, an unnamed woman in the crowd reached out and touched the hem of his cloak. She'd been suffering hemorrhages for 12 years, and immediately she touched Jesus, she found herself healed. Although the crowd were pressing around him, Jesus sensed the presence of the woman. He sought her out and comforted her with the words, "Your faith have made you well. Go in peace." Reaching Jairus' house, Jesus was told that the daughter had died. But Jesus, going into the house, took her tenderly by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up." Jairus' daughter rose and was restored to health. What both of these encounters have in common is that we see Jesus responding with love and compassion to those who came to him in faith. Both Jairus and the unnamed woman had heard about this mysterious healer travelling through the land, and they came to Jesus with complete faith that he would be able to help them. Jairus, the official, came and sought Jesus' help. The insignificant, unnamed woman dared not speak to him, but believed that if she could just touch his cloak, she would be healed. And in responding both to Jairus and the woman, Jesus is showing us that he will turn back his back on no one who comes to him in faith, however important or insignificant, however worthy or unworthy we think ourselves to be. Jesus hears the prayers of all who turn to him in faith and responds with love and compassion, bringing his healing love and with it the hope of peace, which only he can give to those in need. That is his mission, to bring the love of God to bear on the lives of all his people, to return people to God's fold. That is the mission he gave to the church and the mission he gives to each of us as his disciples. We are to continue his healing work, bringing his love and compassion to those in need around us, through our own words and deeds. All of us are called to represent God to the world by showing Christ-like actions, actions of love and compassion to our neighbours. For Christ's mission is our mission, and no one is excused from caring for our neighbours in need. We are not to pass by on the other side of the road, but to reach out in love and bring hope and peace to those in need through our own words and deeds of love and compassion. We are called to stop, listen, and respond to those in need around us with the same love and compassion that Jesus showed to Jairus and the unnamed woman, and that same love and compassion that he so unfailingly shows to us and to all who turn to him in faith. Amen. In the power of the Holy Spirit and in union with Christ, let us bring our prayers for the Church and for the world to our Heavenly Father. We pray for the Church throughout the world, for the leaders of the Church, among them Mary, our Bishop. We pray for the clergy and people of our diocese, for our own ministry area. May the Church be faithful to its calling of bringing the good news of Christ to all the world, and bringing comfort and hope to all who are overburdened. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the people of the world, for victims of violence and oppression, among them the people of the Ukraine, of Israel and Gaza, for all suffering the effects of natural disaster, and for those suffering from famine or drought. May the leaders of the nations be led by the Spirit to bring peace and hope where there is conflict and despair. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our own community, for our families, friends, and neighbours. We give thanks for all who serve the needs of the vulnerable. May we bring to others the love of God, lightening the burdens of all who live among whom we live. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need, for those who are sick, for those who are bereaved, for the lonely and isolated, and for all in any kind of need. We hold in our hearts before God those known to us who are in need at this time, and all whose names are recorded in our intercession books. Relieve them according to their need. Strengthen them with your Holy Spirit, and console them with the love of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have died. We remember before God our own departed loved ones. And we pray for the recently departed, those whose anniversary of death falls at this time. Welcome them and all the departed into the eternal joy and peace of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we bring all our prayers to our Heavenly Father as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Blessed are those who make peace. They shall be called God's children. The peace of the Lord be with you and with all those whom you love. Let us pray. God of our pilgrimage, you have led us to the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forward on our journey, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And just before our final blessing, I'd like to thank you all for joining us, our family here in Getligay, for our service of home worship this morning. Really lovely to have you with us. I wish you all a very happy, healthy, peaceful and safe week to come. I hope very much you'll be able to join us once again next Sunday for another service of home worship. The Lord be with you. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.